My mom was a twin, and her mom was a twin, and her mom was a twin. And when it came to my generation, they kept waiting for twins, but they just got me, who's very fat. The name Thomas means twin, and the name Didymus means twin. So when it says Thomas, also called Didymus, they're saying twin, also called twin, and I can't get over that. That has no connection to this homily, but I want that in your head now, that we actually don't know the name of this apostle. We know his nickname, and I just think that's great, especially when I think about the nicknames we gave each other growing up. So let's start the homily after that bit of silliness. So Thomas had two reasons, I mean, he had a lot of reasons not to believe the disciples, but he had two, I think, that supersede all the others, right? He comes back and everybody says, Jesus is alive. And the first reason he should not have believed them is because that is completely insane. You and I know the end of the story. He didn't. And there is no one here who would go to a funeral for someone and then 6 days later go to a family gathering where everyone's like, no, he was just here, who wouldn't say, okay, yeah? And that's simple. The reason he didn't believe them, I would assume, reason number one, what they were saying was insane. A guy who had been dead at that point, 6 days, was back. The second reason I got from my buddy, Father Jeff. Father Lay and I set him down. We got to see him, and we were like, we're a little stuck on this gospel, and we both preached on it a million times, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, the locked door, man. And I'd never thought of that, but he's right. The second reason to not believe is these guys who claimed we just saw Jesus risen from the dead responded by locking the door. That was their response. They just saw the guy they loved come back from the dead, they claim, and their answer wasn't to go tell everybody, it was to lock the door. I wouldn't have believed him either, for either of those reasons. Bring all this up because it's a good day for us to ask ourselves about our level of belief in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Because there's three answers for you and I to the resurrection. One, it didn't happen. That's a response I can actually respect because it is crazy. The second one is to say, yeah, I believe that happened, and then to lock the doors. The third one is to say, I believe this, and to let that belief transform us. Yeah? I think to some extent, when people talk about the crisis in the church and all these other things, we keep forgetting it's basically an American and European crisis. There's nowhere else where the church is struggling, not even remotely. It's struggling with violence. It's struggling with attacks. Christians, Catholics in Nigeria and are being killed every day. Catholics in India, Catholics in China, Catholics in Guatemala are being arrested all the time. But their churches are thriving. When we say, why is the American Catholic Church struggling? Obviously, that's a complicated question. But I think a big part of it is we believe-ish. Yeah? Did Jesus come back from the dead? I think most, if you don't believe that, you should go. This is boring. You know what I mean? If you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, go home. This is terrible. There's other things to do. Yeah? You know, you're okay, three people left. I'm just kidding, don't look back. Do you really believe this? Because the devil believes it. You get that, right? When we say the creed, the devil can say the creed. He agrees with all of that. Nobody believes the resurrection more than him. Trust me. But for you and I, we have to move beyond intellectual assent and into transformational belief. We have to move from saying, yeah, that happened, isn't it great, to, I guess there's probably some changes I should make because of that. And nobody got it better than the early Christian community. You heard, no, you didn't do the first reading. Who did the first reading? The first reading. You did do the first one? All right. You heard what it said, right? It was Acts. And it said that the reason people started to go to the, join the Christian community, it said it was because their theology was perfect. None of them ever sinned again. It said that they prayed Mass perfectly according to the rules and made sure that everyone who was a sinner felt judged and condemned. It's right there. No, it says they loved each other so much that people couldn't deal. That the response of the pagan, non-Christian community was to say, quote, look at how they love one another. When people bump into us, do they get a sense that what we believe has changed us, or are we just another social club? A group of people, well, we have like ideologies, we have a common faith, and once a week we get together, almost murder each other in the parking lot, and worship God. Or can you and I believe that His resurrection binds us together in a way we should never be willing to break? A few parishes ago, and true story, I was at a coffee shop and they had these big high back chairs. And I sat there and I was kind of hiding. It was my day off, so I had my book and my coffee. I was in my civvies and making sure I just get some quiet time. And people sat behind me. And they went to my church, and I got to hear a lot of really interesting critiques. I got to hear a group of them tearing apart a couple other people at the church. Yeah, judging their lives, judging how they dressed, all these sorts of things. And I thought, I'm not the only one who hears that. Other people hear it. Would you join a cutthroat social club? Who would? If you look at Catholicism out there, at least on social media, it's kind of divided into the really angry and scared people to the people who are super angry and super scared. Of course, no one's going to look at that and say, look at how they love one another. The way we talk needs to change. The way we see each other needs to change. Or all we are is people who believe something quite crazy. When you think about what we celebrated the last couple weeks in particular, I would love for each of us to remember that that was not a collective act. That did Jesus die for the sins of the world? Oh my gosh, of course. But maybe more important, I think, He died for your sins. St. Augustine put it this way, if you were the only person who ever lived, He would have done that whole thing. Because you have that value. And that's true of you and of everyone you meet. Whether you like them or not, Jesus doesn't ever say we have to like anybody. But He does say that we have to love one another like He loves us. It involves a lot of emotional discipline, which we really stink at, yeah? No one tells us that. We keep getting affirmed. But here's the key. Our emotions lead us. And so when we're irritated, we make sure everyone knows we're irritated. When we're angry, we pull the pin and throw that grenade. And if it goes boom, great. But everybody does that. People who believe in the resurrection are supposed to act different. And again, I would love to preach to you on all the things I have down, but I don't have anything down except need. I know I need. And you know you need. And He doesn't need you to be perfect to tell people this is what it looks like when someone believes the resurrection. He needs you to be relentless and to strive and refuse to give up. So that everyone who walks away from you has a sense of their value. Everything in their lives is telling them, be scared and be angry. Everything in their lives is reducing them as a tool, a cog in this giant nameless machine. But you and I, believing in the resurrection, can show them you have infinite value. You are precious to God, therefore you are precious to me. It's a good week for us to ask ourselves how deep our belief in the resurrection goes. If it's intellectual assent, that's cute, but the devil has that. Our belief needs to change us. Our belief needs to change the way we live, to change our priorities, to change the way we act. The way that's possible is two primary means. One is through grace. Yeah, grace is a fancy word for strength from heaven. We should be praying for strength from heaven all the time. Because if we try to do it on our own strength, we will fail. And one of two things will happen. Either we'll quit or we'll become bitter, controlling, angry people. And we got plenty of those. I checked. Don't do that. We pray for grace. And not only that, but in just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the moment where Jesus gave us his spirit, not a cheap knockoff or an imitation, but where he poured his spirit in us. And his spirit raised him from the dead. And if it lives in us, then it can raise us from the dead. So as we prepare to do something that really is not very believable, right? In just a few moments, we're going to give God cheap unleavened bread. And he's going to turn it into himself. That's insane. And we believe it. And that belief transforms us. And as we receive him, let's pray for the grace to be different than everybody else, to truly treat each other with great care and affection and dignity and love, whether we agree with each other or not, whether we like each other or not. None of that matters. Here's what matters. You are precious to God, and you are precious to me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.